What is up, Sonic Perspectives listening audience? This is Gonzo the Unpronounceable, and I'm here to talk with you about a show that I saw the other night with some dear friends. It was a performance by a fellow named Alex Skolnick and his jazz trio, the Alex Skolnick Trio. It was a fiery performance, had a fantastic time, took some great shots, did a great interview, and wonderful times all around were had, and I thought I would bring a guest along to talk about it today. This is my dear friend, Jen.
Jennifer Broich-Smith.
And Jen knows me very, very well.
Oh, Gonzo, you're so odd.
And we go back a long, long way.
Back at NAMM. We kind of bumped heads. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. We decided to start our own show. And that's when I contacted you about that. And got Carol Icky involved, another friend of mine. And we talked about, doing the scene.
The scene was a local public access program here in San Antonio that ran from 2005 until about 2007. That included Jen as producer-in-chief. And it included me as webmaster and photographer.
Alex Skolnick. Mm-hmm. That most people would recognize the name from the band Testament. Right. Mm-hmm. How did we come across Alex? At the time, I went to LA. I was for the NAMM show, which the NAMM is National Association for Music Merchants. And we had set up an interview with a band called ZO2.
Which, by the way, let's pay respects to David Z, who played bass for ZO2. He died on the road with his other band, Adrenaline Mob, about a year and a half ago.
In the room, and we did the interview with all of them. So as we were going around the room, they were introducing themselves one by one. Here I came to Alex, and I was behind the camera, and he said, "Oh, I'm Alex Skolnick," and I about passed out because I was, I couldn't even believe that was him. I wanted to, go run and freaking hug him. Pat.
Wait, you mean you didn't?
I didn't. I maintained my composure.
Oh, you are not the Jen that I know. But and that was the beginning of a lasting friendship between us, the scene of the crew, and Alex Skolnick and his entourage. We became pretty close friends with him and with his roadie and with his band, and we have seen each other on a regular basis ever since. Okay, so you had no idea that he was doing the jazz thing.
You know what? I really didn't. I mean, I didn't really follow him during that time.
But that changed rather quickly. Jennifer and Carol ended up introducing the Alex Skolnick Trio to the rest of the scene crowd, including me, when they came to Austin in the spring of 2005. They played at a place called the Flamingo Cantina, opening for Apocalyptica, their very first U.S. show, and the line that wrapped around the block wrapped all the way around the block. I've never seen such a lengthy line to get into a club at South by Southwest before. It was a thing that I'd never witnessed before. It was nuts. And the show itself was pretty spectacular. And so I was finally seeing him. I was in my early 20s at that point, and I had that, I kind of had that same reaction that you had when he introduced himself. A part of me died in Spanish, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Jen and I have had fantastic times with Alex, and both with and without Testament. But those are discussions for another day. Right now, we're talking about the Alex Skolnick Trio's most recent tour through Texas. By that point, because that's when I got him to record that video for her where he was sending her well wishes. Because while I grew up worshiping Alex's skills, my sister grew up just adoring him. Like, that was her celebrity crush. It was Alex Skolnick. Sorry, I had to leave that in there. Let's get back on track, though. We're talking about the Alex Skolnick Trio's performance on the 18th of October, 2018, in San Antonio at Fitzgerald's. This is what Jen had to say about the band's cohesion together on stage.
It's almost like they sort of were frozen in time. I really was taken back. you know, to the times when I first saw them. They were just phenomenal back then, and they were phenomenal the other night. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are so in sync together, you know. Mm-hmm. They played so well. It was just like, you know, stepping back into a time warp or something, you know, and going back to those earlier days when we first met them. I mean, it was great.
I came away thinking something a little different.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because, like, to me, it did not feel like they had stayed frozen in time, like you said. I walked away thinking that these guys had... I'm not even sure how to describe what I thought might have happened in the intervening years. But what was obvious is that one thing was on display more than anything that night. And it's something that I remember Alex talking about in his column in that Guitar magazine. Mm-hmm. And in his in the many interviews that I read with him, you know, in the early to mid-90s. And that is how important it is to be fluid in a number of different styles and not just one or two.
Right.
You know, he was always very, very emphatic about how important that is. And this is something that he and I discussed when we chatted the other day, is that is really what has propelled his career the entire time that I've been a fan of his. I mean, yeah, he's been in the limelight mostly for metal. You know, he's known mostly for Testament.
Right.
You know, and for a long time he played guitar for Trans-Siberian Orchestra, which is almost rock, almost metal. You know, it's Sabotage light. You know, but in either case, you know, that's just one of his many gigs. He's also put out a number of fusion albums. He's also put out a number of world music albums. You know, he's been doing the trio the whole time. And, like, especially with the most recent album of theirs, Conundrum, they're not just playing jazz and bebop anymore.
Oh, yeah,
they're playing a bunch of different stuff. And we heard some of that. Like, okay, like for example, they played a song from his Global Coalition album, which is, like, an incredible world music album that he did about 4 years ago. And there's a song on there called Django Tango. It's a tango homage to Django Reinhardt. You know, that guitar player.
And it is
a smoking piece of tango fun. I remember Carol, like, she asked you to dance. Well, I don't know how to dance. She asked me to dance. I don't know how to dance. Fine, I'm gonna go dance by myself. Shaking music, and how they managed to get a tango that that traditionally has a violin and a guitar and sometimes an accordion. It was played by a jazz trio of just drums, upright bass, and guitar, and they somehow made it work.
Right. I mean, that's the thing is, I think that you know, if you had your eyes closed and hearing them, you would almost think that it would be much more than a trio, you know, just the way their sounds flow. It's pretty remarkable. I mean, and when I say that, you know, as far as stepping back into time, I think it was more of their togetherness, you know, they still were in sync as a band. They were still together. They still had that click, you know. The music by far has definitely matured. I think that, you know, there were a few surprises during the show.
For example?
That Culture Shock song.
Mm-hmm.
That was different.
Because
Because it had that whole Americana, country rockabilly sound to it, and it was really cool. I mean, and he made a comment on there, this is something that, hey, we're, in Texas, and this is something that Texas folks will like. And so, when it started, it was like, whoa, okay, what is this? This is something different than what you typically hear from the trio. So I thought that that was it's really upbeat, really entertaining. It just
some of the other guitar players in the audience, among whom was a guy named Ron Jarzombek, that I
Right.
think might be the best guitarist in the world of any genre. But like, I think that we were all kind of just staring at Alex in complete and utter disbelief during that song, because I don't think a lot of people appreciate what a challenging style of music country music really is for a guitar player. It is tough. It
Right.
is. There, it involves a lot of technique. There's a technique called chicken picking that requires some incredibly fast fingers, and this guy was just wailing away at it. And like, the only other person with a metal background that I've ever heard do something in that particular style is Zakk Wylde, 25 years ago.
Wow.
And that's like the last I heard of anything like that until the Skolnick Trio did Culture Shock. It was a really nice throwback. It's true. Alex played jazz. Alex played rock. Alex played tango. Alex played country. Alex played a little bit of a lot of different stuff and did it all exceedingly well. And one thing that Jen and I did forget to mention was that Alex played his own tribute to the one and only Prince with a song called 9099. You know,
Yeah.
and this kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier. Like Alex has taken his incredibly diverse skills, and his incredible fluidity in all these different genres, and I don't know if he's forced Matt and Nathan to do the same thing, but they're all doing it, and And I think that the most remarkable thing that I've seen, and this kind of ties back to what you said a moment ago about them being frozen in time, yes and no, because they still have that chemistry between them that they had such a long time ago, except it's stronger. It's stronger, yeah, it seems exactly. More intuitive, and most impressively of all for me, that chemistry transcends genre. And that's not something that just any old schlups can do.
You know, he's passionate. He's passionate. He's passionate about a lot of things, you know, and one of the things that's always been consistent in his life is his music, you know, and not just being a metal rock guitarist. You know, I think it's a rarity that you have somebody who plays, you know, something like metal and kind of grew up and became famous in that world and then kind of moves over to a whole other genre. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it doesn't occur often, you know, and to actually make it in that arena, you know, of another whole other musical style. And so I think that, you know, he's really got a talent, you know, unlike any other, really. I mean, he, you know, he'll be doing this for a long time, you know, maybe not Testament, but I think sticking with the trio, I think this is something that he'll feel good doing for as long as he can do it, you know? Did he do Stevie Ray Vaughan, or was it just a similar song style to Stevie Ray?
Yeah, he was riffing on Texas Flood.
Okay.
That was how they closed out the night. What'd you think of that?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, the way to go. I like the fact that he put a hat on and kind of, you know.
You like the fact that he took his shirt off.
Uh-huh. I don't even remember that. Texas. What's going on? So we're just going to have to sing about it, right? Recipe of music that can really awaken your senses, you know? I mean, from, you know, you're just hearing so many different sounds on this show, you know, but in the past we had seen them and, you know, it was real typical jazz, you know, fusion stuff. And, you know, of course, a couple of the covers that were jazzed out. But I think that now, I mean, just the variety that they were bringing to the table at this show, you know, it was different. You know, it was definitely, you can tell that, like you said, the chemistry has just grown. And, you know, their experience and their talent and it's just kind of fused together over the years. And just made, it was just, it was great. Guitar kind of just captured the audience. It filled the air, you know. I mean, it was just, it was so jazz, but it was like real fusion, you know. And it had, I want to say it was almost kind of like listening to him, it almost felt like I was at a, you know, Zappa show or what's his son's name?
Dweezil.
You know, because I'd seen Dweezil at the Aztec a few years ago. And man, I mean, I was feeling that vibe, you know, at this show. And it was just, it was awesome. I wasn't bored, not one time. I mean, I was just entertained.
And that was Jennifer Broich Smith, ladies and gentlemen. Jen was one of the producers of The Scene, a public access program in San Antonio that I worked on in my youth. And Jen was also a columnist at The Edge magazine, a regional magazine here in Central Texas. And she and I were colleagues there as well. We were talking about a concert last week that we both attended by the Alex Skolnick Trio. They just wrapped up a brief tour of Texas and are presumably back home in New York. The Alex Skolnick Trio's new album is called Conundrum. It's out now, and it's available for purchase at alexskolnick.com. Please remember to subscribe to us on Stitcher, Apple, and Google Play to get notified of all of our interviews, as well as our Talking Perspectives podcast. Don't forget to find us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also subscribe to us on YouTube. And of course, you can please check us out at www.sonicperspectives.com. This is Gonzo the Unpronounceable. I'm still in Texas. It's still flooding here.